We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon an extremely precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Context is always extremely important. And to kind of set the stage, the tension is so thick you could cut it with a knife. The council is gathered together. All the VIPs of the church are there. The elders, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the seminary professors, and the high priest. The trial of Stephen is about to begin. He's being accused of speaking blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Stephen is accused of saying that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. So the trial is about to begin. The high priest begins the proceedings. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And what follows in the rest of this chapter 7, which is 60 verses long, is arguably the best summary of the history of the children of Israel in all Scripture. And it was given not by the elders or the scribes, but by Stephen, a layman. We always begin by praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to give us eyes that can see and ears that can hear. And we're going to take our time moving through this blessed chapter, searching for the treasures which are hidden in it. And this is your story and mine. We can relate to this. So Stephen starts his reply. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan." It would be difficult, I almost said impossible, to find a greater name in Old Testament history to the Jewish people than Abraham. This takes us back to Genesis chapter 12. And this is one of the most important times in the history of the whole world. But before we get there, we're going to look briefly at Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise or crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So the promise was given for the promised seed to come But the whole world was the background of it. The whole world was the stage. Where was he going to appear? But now the stage is narrowed down to one man and his family. And that's Abraham. And the whole rest of the Old Testament follows the history of the children of Abraham. We should start right from the beginning to understand this, that there are two types of the offspring of Abraham. Type number one is a physical offspring by bloodline. The Jews banked very heavily on this. And number two, there is a spiritual offspring of Abraham, the elect, the very small remnant, who by the grace of God have the same faith that Abraham had. As we mentioned, the Jews relied heavily on the fact that they were blood relatives of Father Abraham. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, the Holy Spirit tells us this: "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So the Jews were so proud of their physical descendants from Abraham. The Holy Spirit is saying it's the ones who have the faith of Abraham that are really the children of Abraham. Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children." In other words, just because you're a blood descendant of Abraham doesn't count for anything. It's nothing. "But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed." God only knows how many are going to hell because they relied upon the fact that they were physical descendants of Abraham. And they boasted about it. There appeared, after 400 years of silence from heaven, a prophet called John the Baptist, preaching out in the wilderness, not the temple, out in the wilderness. And thousands of people took the journey out there to hear him. And in Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, we have this: "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say with yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth fruit, good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire." So we get back to the words of Stephen as he continues. "He said unto him," and God said unto him, this is God talking to Father Abraham, "and he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, that's your relatives, your family, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. We look right now back in the early chapters of Genesis, chapter 12. And first of all, we notice something that's a little odd about the relationship of the previous chapter, chapter 11, and the opening words of chapter 12. And this is something that the Holy Spirit does actually quite often, and that is that he goes ahead several years and then retraces his steps and starts over from an earlier period. So the point we're trying to make is we look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And it reads this way. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now this is the King James translation. And the opening words are these. Now the Lord had said. So we look at some of the modern translations and how they put it. And I'm thinking mainly, really, I had gotten rid of all my modern translations. I burned them. But I bought one because I thought I should have something to compare with. And then I happened to see this the New American Bible by the Catholic Church. And it has the permission and blessing of the Pope. So here's how they translate the opening words of Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abraham. Abraham. The Lord said. The King James has it, the Lord had said. Well, that's a big difference. If you read it according to the modern translation here, the words that God speaks are spoken right away, right now. The Lord said to Abraham. He said that right now. If you look at it the other way, the Lord had said something to Abraham. And that's interesting. We're trying to take a good look at Abraham. And what had God said to Abraham? Well, Stephen has just given it to us. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, that's relatives, country relatives, and come into the land that I will show thee. So what did Abraham do? Well, to find out what Abraham did, we have to look back at the closing verses of chapter 11. And I'm going to read through them very quickly. I want you to note the names here. And the blessed truth is this, that Abraham did not obey God right away. And the fact of the matter is, it took two funerals and a dispute within the family to get him to obey God. So let's just read these verses here. I'm in Genesis chapter 11. And I'm going to start with verse 24. Nahor lived 920 years and begat Terah. Terah's a big name. Why? Because Terah was the father of Abraham. That's why. He was Abraham's father. And he begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And okay, now we get down to Terah, father of Abraham. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is another Haran. Okay, so Terah had three sons that are mentioned here. One was Abraham, one was Nahor, and Haran. And Nahor and Haran were brothers to Abraham. They're relatives, okay? Now, these are the generations of Terah, father of Abraham. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Well, that's clear enough. And Haran begat Lot. So Lot would be a nephew, I believe, to Abram. So Abraham has two brothers, a father, and a nephew. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. So Abram was still in Ur of the Chaldees. I'm going to call him Abraham because you know the name change. Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees and was making no steps toward getting out of there until his brother died. And then, so his brother died, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And for the first 75 years of his life, Abraham was living in Ur of the Chaldees, and he was a heathen. And then, so Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, later changed to Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah, which is a little detailed. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. Okay, now continuing. So Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. Well, who was leading the parade here? It was Terah, the father of Abram. What was he doing there? And Abram, and Lot, what was Lot doing there? What were the relatives of Abram doing there? Abram was supposed to leave his country, and he was supposed to leave his relatives, and he didn't do it. And so one of his brothers has already died, and then go into the land of, they were going to go into the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Haran had just died, but they had built a city in his honor, evidently. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died. So there's two deaths in the family here. And they shouldn't have been there in the first place. They shouldn't have been. And so when chapter 12 begins, now the Lord had said unto Abram, we see that Abram did not obey God right away. It took two funerals and a family disagreement before he finally obeyed God and left everything and went to where he was supposed to go. So this is your family tree and mine. By faith, we're children of Abraham. But it's not a good start. It's not a good start at all. It's filled with disobedience right from the very beginning. But you don't get that unless you look at the King James translation and pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and study it carefully. That's the thing. So Stephen continues, and he gave, this is verse 5, and he gave him none inheritance in it. That's once Abraham finally did get down to the land of Canaan. He gave him no inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. Okay, so let's look again at a few of the details of our human father through the Spirit, same faith, Abraham. Abraham, if we're counting correctly, had 10 trials during his lifetime. And he failed some of them. He did not always obey. He was 75 years old when God appeared to him, and Sarah was 65 years old, and God had promised them that he would give them a son. They would be in the bloodline of the Savior. That was a promise. And they didn't believe him. After a time, they didn't believe him. So there was a time when there was a famine in the land, and when Abraham got down there, the Canaanite was dwelling in the land. And this is the land that God promised Abraham, and Abraham went there, and it was filled with heathen people. And there arose a famine in the land. So Abraham, using his own human reason, decided, rather than die of starvation down here in the land God promised to give me, which he hasn't kept anyway, I'm going to go down into Egypt, because there's corn down there. So they got down into Egypt. Abram hadn't prayed about it. And he should have. His son Isaac later on is going to try the same thing, but God said, no, you stay in here. Abraham should have stayed in there too. Did it ever occur to Abraham that maybe God sent the famine in the land to drive the heathen out? No. Instead, he left the land, the promised land, went down into Egypt, told a lie about his wife. She was good looking. She was beautiful. And he said to her, tell everybody that you're my sister. Otherwise, you're going to kill me and take you for a wife. So they told a lie. And the result was that the family was split. And Sarah ended up down in Pharaoh's harem. And it was because Abraham sinned. He shouldn't have left the Holy Land in the first place. And he shouldn't have lied about things in the second place. This is our father. That's what we descended from. It's part of the family tree. Let's be honest. Year after year passed, and Sarah didn't become pregnant yet. And well, you know, God evidently can't keep his promise. We better help him out. And Sarah was the one that concocted this. She's the one that suggested that her husband commit adultery with Sarah's maid. Maybe they could have a child through her. And lo and behold, it worked. Oh, this must be God's will. She got pregnant right away. Well, Sarah never could get pregnant for all these years. And so they had Ishmael. And for 13 years, they thought that Ishmael was the promised seed in the bloodline of the Savior. Yeah. And the family situation deteriorated. So, finally, when Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 89, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Notice the emphasis on the word, the power of the word. It always gets back to the word of God. And God had spoken it, God had done it. And Abraham, and then Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son at his old age at the set time. Oh, that set time. God has set times for everything. Everything has a set time. And so at the set time, God kept his promise, which God had spoken. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. So finally, in spite of everything that Abraham had done to try and keep this whole thing from happening, God's will was done. Okay. I am thankful and I am proud in a humble way that God has made me a spiritual child of Abraham. And I look at the family tree and yes, it's not a good picture. It just is not a good picture. And the children of Israel, all the way through, they were stubborn, they were stiff-necked, they were idol worshippers. It's terrible. The physical descendants of Abraham were terrible. But the spiritual descendants, that's the thing. The ones that had the same faith that Abraham had. And so we get to Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. This was trial number 10. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. So, this is how Abraham ended up. Had a strong faith and believed in God and kept God's laws and was willing even to sacrifice his beloved son whom he loved. This is a tremendous thing how this all ended up. And so we think of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We think of Hebrews chapter 11 beginning at verse 17. We're getting an awful lot of static here. I wonder if someone should be muting. Okay, thank you. We're getting an awful lot of static, but we'll continue. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 17, 18, and 19. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So this is how it all ended up. And we look at the 10 trials that Abraham had, the 10 tests, and he failed some of them. He failed miserably. But this is how he ended up. And he went to the land of Moriah, the same place where Jesus was later crucified, probably on the very place that Abraham was about to offer up Isaac. And he believed that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. So he believed in that. And this is how it ends up. So, to kind of summarize these things before we shut off, and we're going to continue with Stephen's final words for quite a while now. But this is the point. So we're all thankful here. I don't think any of us in our congregation are physical descendants of Abraham. None of us are. But that doesn't count for anything anyway. If somebody of it was, it wouldn't count. It's the spiritual children of Abraham that count. These are the very elect, the very small remnant, the ones that was given the same faith by the Holy Spirit that Abraham had, and we're thankful for that. So if we compare our life with the life of Abraham, like father, like child, we all have to admit that we fail time after time after time. We walk the same path that Abraham did, often very slow to obey God's commands. And God had to step in for Abraham and have two funerals and a family dispute in order to have Abraham do finally what God wanted to do. So we're going to do what God wants us to do, but sometimes we don't. And we have to be brought back. But here's the thing. It's how you end up that counts. It's how you end up when Christ comes back at the final judgment day and he divides the sheep from the goats. And it's if you're at the right hand, that's the only thing that matters. And the Holy Spirit is the one that brings us there. This is what we've got going for us. It's the Holy Spirit's job, if you want to put it crassly, to search out all of the elect children of God, the very small remnant, and bring them in. And he did that with Abraham. Abraham was an idol worshiper for 75 years of his life. And he was told to leave his country. He didn't do that right away. He was told to leave his relatives. He didn't do that right away. It took the death of his brother and the death of his father to get him out of there. And even then he took Lot with him, and he was supposed to separate from Lot also. And God had that happen down in the Holy. So God works all this. He works it all together. And the final faith of Abraham is the faith that you and I will have. That's the promise. And so it's our story that we're studying here. And we're thankful for the Holy Spirit to open treasures for us. And we'll close on that note, and God willing, continue next week.